The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Backs up, throws, touchdown to Gibbs. The late blitz, the pass to the end zone, Kraft. Touchdown. Wow. The fires. It's intercepted. Nixon with the pick. And down the sideline he goes.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jacobs in there. Touchdown Green Bay. And they have the lead again. Back and forth. We continue to go. Play fake to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Tim Patrick again. They are going. And then got full snap. But Montgomery is able to pick up the first down. And this should seal it. They'll run the clock down, kick the field goal. What a call! Ball game. And what a game.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just didn't make enough plays early on, and obviously put the defense in a tough position.
Obviously, extremely disappointed for our guys. I thought it was one of those games that we knew exactly how it was going to be. It was going to be a hard-fought, back-and-forth game, and that's what it was.
You know, I think we're right there with them as an explosive offense, so we're not worried about that.
And like I told our team, I mean, we're going to have to earn the right to potentially come back here. And it's not going to be easy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
It was right there. So close. I thought I would feel better this morning because I had preached this on this show, Chew. I talked about it on Green Bay Game Day, where I thought this could be a game where even if the Packers lose tight, and it's as tight as you can get, game-winning field goal by the Lions as time expired, I thought I would still walk in here going, you know what? Yeah, this team, they're ready. This team is still as good as anybody. They can play, but it's, they can play with anybody. I don't know if they can beat anybody. And that's where my problem is. Like, they hung in there last night. But when you lose because of the same issues that have plagued you all season, third down stink. Untimely penalty in the red zone turns a potential touchdown into a field goal. When it's things like that that have been plaguing you all season, have not been fixed all season, I don't know how I'm supposed to go, oh yeah, they'll fix that in time for the playoffs. It hasn't been fixed in 12 weeks, 13 weeks, and now over the last four, they're going to be able to fix it when they play these good teams. I certainly feel really good about this team. I love this team. They are fun to watch, and they fought their way back into that game after being down 17-7 at half. But, man, I just wonder if they find themselves in this situation when they're playing the Lions or playing the Eagles, the two teams that I think are definitively better than. If you want to debate if Minnesota is, you can debate that. But I don't think you can debate the Packers being better than the Lions or Eagles right now. Can they avoid those mistakes and win in the playoffs? I don't know, because this is what young teams do.
Well, first off, thank you for both your congratulations.
Wait, on well what? Deserved. On what?
Nailing it. Nailing it.
How did
absolutely
you?
Nailing
what do you
it.
Mean nailing
absolutely
it?
Absolutely nailing
how
it.
How did you nail it?
Right?
What are you doing?
I said 31-27. I said this is going to be the type of game where the last team that has the ball will win the game, which played out exactly. Now, the score, someone might have had closer, but it's like doing a math problem, Gabe. You can't just put the answer. You cannot just put the answer.
That's
you
literally
have to
what
show
you do every
how
week.
You
hold on.
Chewy arrived lied. At that answer, and I nailed it.
Chewy,
so,
you're lying. You
thank
picked 34-20, or you picked 34-17.
34-27 was the final that Chewy has listed here on the social
27?
Media.
27?
If 34-27. You saw how I arrived at the score, I nailed it. I nailed it.
Ben
so
had
thank
you no,
both. I you, appreciate that.
You have
let's
always maintained that the final margin is the most important thing, which is how
true.
You won.
No, not
despite
always.
Picking a 3-2
score.
That's
why you
score.
Were complaining last time we didn't say you were right.
It changes from week to week. Okay, it changes from week
damn
to
it.
Week. Especially
I gotta find
when
these
you're
rules.
We're never gonna figure it out.
Yeah, I gotta find these rules before I make my
Here's
pick.
What I think.
Lay out.
And Gabe, this is why I said they're a year away. Now this season isn't over. They're still, but this is what I believe. This is what I believe with this team. They can beat the Lions. They can beat the Eagles. They can beat Buffalo. They can beat Kansas City. They can beat Baltimore. They can beat them. The problem is they can't do it three games in a row. They can't do it three games in a row. And if you look at the team stats, if I looked at these team stats, I would say Detroit by 10 or 14. And you're right. There are you cannot give up 27 first downs. You cannot give up 27 first downs. You cannot give up 18 of those passing. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, again, it, but can't. It's just pass rush.
You cannot
defensive,
go one
you know, specifically quarterback play.
And this has been a problem all year. You can't go one for five on third downs. You can't have the other team running 76 plays and you running 45. Okay? 298 offense to 391. And I know that, yeah, they only had 45 plays. But they only had 45 plays is because the defense can't stop anybody. You know, they looked aggressive. They looked good. The pass rush looked better. But third and six.
They only hit Goff 3 times.
First down. 8 yards. First down. It's just you can't do that. Time of possession, 36 to 24. And that's a big margin, you know. So if you looked at that game, I would, like I said, it would be 10 to 14 points. They can beat them. They can beat them on the road, but I don't think the next week you can go to Philly and beat them again.
Yeah, it's just.
That's why I said 1 year away.
And everybody's got a hand in the loss last night as well. I don't know if just the moment was too big, the game was too big, because Matt LaFleur. Took him a while to settle into this game. Like, the defense played well. They forced some punts early, and it seems like once the Packers found their rhythm offensively, the Lions found theirs, especially in the second half. But for a team that we've all kind of determined, especially since the bye, that, hey, this is a team that you should be running the football, right? You need to be turned around and handed off to Josh Jacobs. I mean, and they had – it took them a while to kind of get that going. I mean, with Love being 3 for 7 in the first half – it was just ugly. It was an ugly offensive game. They didn't find a rhythm. They were, you know, they wanted to take that shot on the first play of the game.
And this is a defense in Detroit that was playing with guys off the street.
Yep.
So the next time they play them, they're going to have a handful of those guys back. So it's going to be a taller task. Now, they can beat them. They showed they can beat them, right?
They showed they can play with them.
I'd like
for them to win one of these games against these teams ahead of them in the standings before I'm like, yep, they can beat anyone. Because that's and you know this. If this was a more veteran team, maybe I would feel different. But because they are the youngest team in the league, like there's almost like, okay, you almost have to prove it to yourselves that, oh yeah, we can win these games. And I honestly thought I'd come in here today, I'm thinking, okay, 34-21, they can beat anyone. But I'm just stuck with this feeling of, okay, can they beat anyone, or can they just play with anyone? Because I feel there's a fine line there, and the youth plays into that because of some of the simple mistakes that they made, especially down the stretch. And man, it just takes away from the way Love played in the second half, the way he was able to come back, Josh Jacobs' 3 touchdowns, that throw by Love to Kraft, holy bleep, man.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, that was nice. That was a good play. That was a good play.
But
the problem is the defense is on the field too long. They give up too many first downs, and it limits, you know, the time the offense has the ball. I mean, that's a huge discrepancy. 76 plays to 45, and all that smells is the defense can't get off the field.
Well, I mean, that plays out. I mean, they were 7 for 15 on third down and 4 for 5 on fourth.
Yeah, just right now, yes, they can beat these, but they can't do it. They can't win 3 of these games in a row. I just don't think they can. Not with stats like this, you know? Not with stats like this.
Chewy, looking at the box score, which stat would have to change the most for you to change your thought on that?
Oh, God, the first downs, Ashley. You cannot give – you can't. 27 to 17, you can't That smells of, like, defense can't get off the field. Time of possession is going to be so far out of whack.
And it was 36 to 24.
So far out of whack. And the only way you can make up for things like that, Ashy, is by turnovers. And it was 1-1 in the turnover category, you know. That's the only way you're going to do that. You can't give up 27 first downs. That is obnoxious. You know, and then you look at what were they on fourth down? 4 or 5?
4 or 5.
No. 4 or 5?
Mm-hmm. And the one they went for Dan Campbell's a lunatic, man.
I love him.
He is an absolute lunatic.
Yeah, but you know what he is now. Next time you play him, like, you know, punt return, we're going to practice for 10 minutes this week. Don't even worry about it. Not a big deal. Am I right?
Well, when you go for it in the two situations he did, at your own 30-yard line, which they didn't get and helped set up the Packers score, and then when you go for it, when you are in field goal range with 40 seconds left and on 4th-and-1 decide to go for it anyway.
Oof. Gabe, you think Philly's any different?
With
the push?
Yeah, Philly, I mean...
With the touch push?
Correct.
Philly's going to do the same thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's just the next time around this team's good. Because they're beat up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably... They were maybe not San Francisco level, but they were pretty beat up. So, it's fine. I told you not to panic this, you know? It's fine.
This text, 800-990-3776, coming from Cody. First priority is find a street that Detroit grabbed that defense from last night. Could use some of those players. Every week reminds me that the coordinator doesn't matter. It's the players. I think the coordinator matters. If it was Joe Barry last night.
Aaron Glenn's a good.
Aaron Glenn's really good. I think Joe Barry's nice good, job. But... Again, the Packers' corners in front four just have not been good enough. Gary had the sack. They only hit Jared Goff 3 times last night, and that's how he ends up hitting 13 in a row in the fourth.
But it's clearly, I think, teams now are like, you have to blitz. You have to blitz Love because he doesn't really have a number one receiver. And what that means is they're not going to double-team anyone. They're just going to play it safe. And you know what? With Green Bay's receivers, Gabe,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. The difference is when you got a Davante Adams and you'd be like, all right, he's double-teamed. I'll give it a short peek if he does it. If not, I know exactly where I'm going. You know? With Green Bay, it's like they're all kind of number twos. You know what I'm saying?
Potentially Jaden Reed, you're thinking, okay, he had a big game against the Lions last time. He was talking about the big game he was going to have on the Amon-Ra St. Brown Brothers podcast.
He didn't even have a catch.
No, he had one target.
One target and no catches.
Yep.
So, you know what, though? It's fine. It's fine. I mean, we'd rather win in the playoffs.
Yeah. And to your credit, you told Jen this yesterday, and then it kind of made her think about whether or not she wanted to pick the Packers to win last night.
I'm going to hit it, Gabe, when you say this.
I mean, Chewy said, hey, whoever wins the game on Thursday, as in last night, is going to lose when they play again in the playoffs.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was
right. So maybe we hang our head on that. Maybe we hang our hat on that.
Jeez.
Gabe, here's the problem.
Chewy's got a good track record. Oh. He's got the saying of it's really hard to beat a team 3 times in one season.
It is. He's the one that came up with that.
But here's the problem.
Oh, no.
Great. If they play Philly first, they're not even going to make it to Detroit.
Probably don't have to mention Philly, facts here.
Philly.
I hate the burst bubble. But Philly, I think Philly is better than Detroit. Right now, they're better than Detroit.
Maybe right now.
They're better than Detroit.
Once Detroit gets healthy, I don't want to mess with Detroit. Like, I think they're so good. I think their coaching staff is really good.
Do me a favor, please, this weekend. Will you do your homework assignment, damn it?
Which is?
Yes, teacher.
Watch Philly. Watch Philly.
I mean, I have.
Watch Philly.
I have.
No, you didn't watch him against the Ravens, did you?
Yeah. You think I'm not watching NFL football?
You can't call people out for watching things or not watching them.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if this is the week you want to watch Philly. You know who Philly's playing?
Who are they playing?
The Panthers.
The Giants. Oh, the Panthers?
Same thing. Same,
just
same.
Tell them, yeah.
800-990-3776. We were finally like digging out of our pot. We were finding positivity, and then Chewy had to shut it down. That being said, as a wild card team, chances are you would go on the road and play the number one seed if you win that first playoff game. So whoever that number one seed is, which again still could be Philly, maybe they end up catching.
But here's your problem, Gabe. The problem with this is Detroit plays Minnesota the last game of the year.
Yeah.
And Detroit may very well have this thing sewn up for the number one slot, which means this game's going to mean nothing.
Sure.
And they're going to rest. So it's going to give Minnesota a game against an elite team where they're going to win, which is going to force the Packers to the number six.
I mean, it depends upon how the Packers do against the Vikings when they play, you know, because, have to wait and see.
You know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, and it's – and I said it yesterday. We know our path now, right? You know the path?
Okay. Yeah, we know the path. You got to play three on the road.
We know we're either going to Arizona, Seattle, Tampa Bay, or Atlanta. You're going to one of those teams. So we can pull it. Which one would you rather play?
Okay.
Right, Gabe? Because those are the four they're going to possibility of playing.
Yes.
Even if they surpass Minnesota.
Correct. You're playing because it's going to be.
You're playing one of those four. So, Ashley, pull that on who would you rather play. But the problem is this, Gabe. This is going to be a tough game in 10 days or 9 days. It's going to be a tough game. Seattle can beat you. Tough place to play. You cannot have a letdown.
Correct.
Right?
Well, which is why I'm glad you kind of have this mini-buy, right? Because last night, I'm sure it took a lot out of you. You got the mini-buy. You got a chance to hit the reset button. Maybe Jair gets healthy. Who knows? I at this point, I don't think I can count on Jair for the rest of the season. If he plays, it's great. If not, I think you have to expect he doesn't.
I hope I get healthy because I really, the doctor told me not to do the show today, but didn't want to.
We don't have time for this yet.
So, we will.
You big baby.
I'm going to try and gut it out. You know, I might have to take a segment or two off just to reset, but I'm about 75% right now.
So Chewy playing at 75%. He injured his sack yesterday. We'll explain exactly how that happened.
Yeah.
But we will get more into that. Maybe we'll do it with Jason Wilde. Maybe we'll do it with Craig Karmazin. Who knows? As we continue here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I know we teased it, so we will certainly get to it. We'll be talking about Chewy's sack at some point in today's program, but now he is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde joining us on a Dude Friday. Sup, bro?
Sorry, I'm going to miss that conversation.
Don't worry, I mean, if you want to call back in, Jason, you know, and provide any sort of, you know, insight you have.
This is injuries Jason had to deal with throughout his entire career.
Well, not personally, right?
not personally, true.
Is that how you were listed on the injury report after that then?
He wasn't sure. He was questionable coming into the show today.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I toughed it out.
Maybe I will come back to hear this story after the review.
I've had problem with this sack before. I'll just leave it at that. Jason,
get it together.
We're idiots, Jason.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Hi.
When you look at the team stats, what's the most glaring thing that pops out to you? Why they lost this game?
Ooh, interesting question.
Because if I look at it, Jason, I look at this, and I went to bed. I went to bed in the fourth quarter, and I got up. I saw the score, and then I looked at the box score, and I'm like, ooh, this feels like a 10 or a 14-point loss.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And I'll tell you, Jason. You cannot give up 27 first downs. You cannot give up 27 first downs. And the 27 first downs spells out to me why they only had 45 plays, why they only had 298 yards total offense, and why the time of possession was off by 6 minutes. That 27 first down tells me the whole story.
Yeah, and look, we've seen this before, right? I mean, if there's any criticism that there's been about this defense of late, which has done a lot of really good things too, but if there's anything, it's them not getting off the field and allowing teams to chew up so much of the time of possession, right? I mean,
yeah.
The Bears game was a great example of that. Like, the Bears aren't better than them, but when you allow a team to go 9 for 16 on third down, and then on three of the third downs that you get stops on, they then conferred on fourth down, then you're not going to have the ball very much. And
yeah.
When that happens, then, you know, McCarthy used to always say they wanted to have 70 offensive snaps in a game. 43 is insufficient. Now, I would say this, though. I mean, look, their defense made some pretty critical plays, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
We can all crush Dan Campbell for saying that, hey, we love that you're aggressive, but only an imbecile goes for it on fourth and one from his own 30 in the second half when you're up three. You just you punt the ball there. Like, and I'm not, that's not like playing the results. I said that. No one was around. All by myself because everybody was in bed already. But Stella, the Wonder Dog.
I was about to say, Stella wasn't even there to provide feedback for you.
Yeah, not even Sadie. She's up sleeping by Paula while I'm working. So it was really Stella and then some random cats. I don't know who was here, but that's just dumb. But as a defense, you still got to make the play that makes it dumb, right? And Quay Walker, again, up and down as we know with him, makes that play. Now, he also has a knuckleheaded personal foul penalty. So you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both in there, you have Quay Walker. But if you look at the interception that Keyshawn Nixon makes, that's a hell of a play. Like, he had seen that route earlier, and right? So,
yeah.
So, and my point is that if you get into a shootout with the Detroit Lions, who certainly have the arsenal to do it, like, when I walk away from this game, one of the thoughts I have, and I will say that to their credit, both LaFleur and Love own this aspect of it, is if you go into a game expecting a shootout, and that's exactly what they were expecting, LaFleur said it flat out, well, then you can't be empty on your first three possessions, right? You can't go punt, fumble.
Well,
you just can't. And that, even though it comes down to the last play of the game, those early plays loom pretty large.
To that point, Jason, I know you had, I don't know if you mentioned it to us on this show, if I was listening to Wilde and Tausch or any other of the shows you appear here on 94.5 ESPN, where you said you and some of the other guys that are on the beat were talking about how, you know, maybe LaFleur was a little ornery and maybe the pressure of this week was getting to him a little bit. Do you think that's kind of what happened in the first few plays, or the first few drives? Because it seems like, I mean, they wanted to take the shot early and that he gets sacked by Za'Darius Smith, and it seemed like they wanted to throw the ball, and once they finally decided, oh, we got to make sure Josh Jacobs gets his touches, that's when they started finding their rhythm, and that's when Jordan Love is able to have the second half that he has, and you have the 3-touchdown game from Josh Jacobs. So because LaFleur thought it was also going to be a shootout, do you think he overthought it and maybe got a little too pass-happy early?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think we probably need to ask him that, right? You're so astute. You really are. It's kind of annoying.
Jason, I'm your best friend on the show. Don't be cheating on me. I'm your best friend.
You are. But well, until I hear the sack story. Anyway. So here's the thing, and that's the reason why that's such a great point is that I hadn't put it all together, but now let's do a little sleuthing here, right? Like Inspector Gadget or the Scooby-Doo gang. So you've got that comment that I made earlier in the week. then you've got this incident before the game.
Yep.
Which, again, I think the fan is the one who is 100% wrong here. Like, I can't even imagine the... I mean, like, again, we can have a conversation about where our society has gone in recent years another time. But would it ever even enter your thought process if you're on the field? Because that guy's on the field to, like, wave the American flag, right?
Correct. Yes.
Like, that's why he's there?
Yep.
Would you ever think to trash talk an NFL team when you're on the field to hold the American flag? Would that ever cross your mind?
No, because I'm not a fake tough guy, Jason, like this guy. He's just the fake tough guy. Real tough when you're, you know, when you know that the every one of those players, including the punter and kicker, could end you, pal. And you're just gonna and you're just gonna just try to talk trash to these guys before the game because
is
you
there,
think
is
you're
there
safe.
Video of it?
Oh,
is there video of it?
Yeah, yeah, I'll send it to you.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Jason,
let me just finish my thoughts.
Okay.
Jackie.
Okay.
Hold on. So that's okay. So you see LaFleur lose his crap on that guy, right? And again, totally justified.
Yeah.
Totally justified, but still kind of an indicator of his engine is running hot. Then, like at the end of the game, and again, I think he's justified in this, but he then loses it again on the officials for the juxtaposition of the Lions not getting called for a penalty on the pick play and the Packers having the touchdown pass to Jacobs get wiped off the board by a pick play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the reason why I think your point is a good one is there's a lot of evidence that he was running at a lot of RPMs last night and all week long. And I would be curious because he was also, I think earlier in the game, I saw him screaming at somebody who messed up during the game. So I think there might be a lot to your theory about being a little overly aggressive in his play calls early on. Now, Chewy, sorry.
See, Jason, I look at Dan Campbell totally different. I don't look at him as crazy. I look at him as arrogant. Because he's sitting there going, if this offensive line can't destroy on fourth down this defensive line, then he ain't very good. I think it's more of an arrogant thing. I think he looks at Green Bay's defense is like, come on, we can't get half a yard or we can't get a yard.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is just, you know, tough guy too, right? Like, we go run over a football team against us. But I
great Dan Campbell.
Thank you. Bite kneecaps. But
Frog.
In the situation that they're nice, there you go, much better than mine. But the going for it thing, again, you have to at least consider the potential consequences of failure. Mm-hmm. Not saying you have to worry about them all the time, but like, hey, you want to go for it on around the 50 and you believe in your defense that they can hold them to a field goal or whatever, great. But on your own 30-yard line, when you're winning, it just that's not aggressive, that's not overconfidence, that's just stupidity in my opinion.
It seems to me, before we let you go here, Jason, that I thought I would feel better about this game coming in because I thought, and we had talked about this, I mentioned it on Green Bay Game Day, of the 2010 team when they went into the team that eventually became the number one seed, Atlanta, and they lost on a last-second field goal too. But you thought, okay, they can play and probably beat anybody. I don't know if I feel that same way after this Lions game because they're 1-for-5 on third down, and third down's been an issue all year. They have untimely penalties. The penalties have been an issue all year. Why should I believe, because these issues have popped up all year long, they haven't been corrected through the first 13 weeks, why should I believe it's going to be corrected in the last four?
Well, I think they've been like intermittently corrected, right? And maybe it's been against teams that are either really downtrodden like the 49ers were, or against Miami, who, as Tausch calls Mike McDaniel, a sniveling, shivering little, he didn't call him a weasel, but he whatever he called him, it wasn't very nice. I just think that against the Lions, it's different. And right now, if we're all being honest, the Lions are just better.
Yep.
Not a lot better, not like a huge margin better, but clearly better. And so can they make up that margin in the next 4 weeks? And then if they meet again in the playoffs, beat them? I think so. You know, and part of it is, what lessons do you take from what you just experienced last night? And going back to your very astute point, it should be, okay, these guys are decimated on the defensive line. And then the one guy that makes the play on Jacobs early suffers a concussion and he's out too. So you would hope that Matt LaFleur, instead of, and I understand you want to take the shot play. I get it. It worked last year. You want to do it again. I would say, don't you think they're maybe expecting that, given that it worked that way last year? But the bottom line to me is the chasm is not large. Those are things that we've seen them improve upon: red zone, third down, et cetera, stupid penalties, et cetera. So I think that they are capable of closing the gap. But to your point, I would argue that while you could definitely feel it in Atlanta, I've told you that before, mm-hmm. about just how the most confident losing locker room I've ever been in on the road. I wasn't obviously there last night. Maybe it felt the same way to Rob and all those guys. But to me, this feels like a little more, we're convincing ourselves that we can feel this confident, as opposed to the 2010 team that I can tell you, you know, Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Charles Woodson, they were all talking like, we're better than these guys. And I don't think this team can say that.
Jason, appreciate the time, my friend. Look forward to hearing your takes coming up in 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
Looking forward to the sack story, boys. Take care. Be good.
Again, we will get to that. Maybe we'll get to it with Craig, because, I mean, maybe you and Craig are close, known each other for a long time.
Yeah, but he has no sack. He can't talk about it.
All right. Oh. There we go. So I guess we won't be talking about it with Craig Karmazin, or maybe we will. We'll have to wait and find out. Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday.
I think I feel better after talking with Jason Wilde. We'll see if Craig Karmazin adds or subtracts to that. Don't worry, we will get to Chewy's sack story at some point here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But now we welcome in the founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands, Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, guys.
How are we doing?
After that game last night, do you feel better, the same about the Packers? I don't know if you can feel worse, but I think it's either better or the same.
It's exactly what you were hoping for. It's what I said was the best case scenario for this team. Like, what a game that was for them. I mentioned the Giants-Patriots game when the Patriots went undefeated in the Super Bowl when I was on a few weeks ago. And that game, the Patriots ended up beating the Giants 38-35. That was actually at Giants Stadium at the time. And that was when the Giants knew they could actually beat the Patriots. And then when they met in the Super Bowl, obviously it wouldn't have been like this would be the NFC Championship. Patriots hung with them, got it done at the end of the game. That's exactly what we saw last night. The Packers have to feel like they're as good as the Lions. I mean, they feel great coming out of that game. They shut down St. Brown.
Hold on,
they moved the ball. They moved the ball at will. I know there were injuries. What?
There's still scars. Come on. There's still scars.
They shut down St. Brown until they needed to on second down and 17.
Craig, right. You can't give up 27 first.
Watson had a fumble, which is actually what the kind of turnover you'd want, right? Like, you don't want your running back. You wouldn't want Jacobs to have a fumble. You wouldn't want Love to throw an interception. Like, if you were going to have a fumble, you want a fluke like that. I mean, this is the best case scenario.
Best case scenario is actually winning the game. And as somebody as competitive as you, trying to tell me that a loss is the best case scenario, that's, again, I'm not saying you can't feel good about them coming out of this game, because I'm picking up what you're putting down. But best case scenario was actually winning the game, and you're super competitive, so I'm surprised that you would say best case scenario was not winning.
It's the best case scenario for a loss, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
and
all right.
It has you believing, if you're the team, that you absolutely are the better team and can beat them, and you know that the Lions are going to come in, and you hope, as Chewy's told us in the past, that they come into the NFC Championship or wherever you'd meet them, winning 15 in a row at that point or whatever it is, because you feel like you are the better team coming off of that game. That was
they're not
on
the
better road.
Team. Craig, they're not the better team. You know they're not the better team. I mean, their defense was decimated.
Yeah, the Lions handed them field position in the one situation, which I know made that easier. But who knows what health is going to be looking forward. I mean, this game gave the Packers a ton of confidence.
Yeah.
And I think gave teams around the league a view that, like, the Lions are stoppable.
I said it in the first segment, Craig. I'm like, yes, they can beat the Lions. They can beat the Eagles. They can beat Buffalo. They can beat Kansas City. They can beat the Ravens. They just can't do it three games in a row on the road. I'm sorry. It's just, they can't. Okay? Would you agree with that?
I mean, it's hard, and it's probably like a 15% chance, right?
Yeah.
But that's
sure.
What everyone's chance is to go to the Super Bowl. So I think the Packers are absolutely right in this thing. And the biggest reason I'm so excited about this team, and by the way, I'm a Bears fan, but if I'm a Packers fan, I'm so excited about this team.
Wait. Is, you're a Bears fan? Yeah. Wait, so you're equally a Bears, Rams, and Jets fan?
Browns also.
Well, hold on.
Browns. I forgot about the Browns.
Gabe, you know the rule here. It's whatever station makes them the most money. And it floats all the time.
Okay.
That's his favorite team.
It's not what makes.
So right now, obviously,
money.
Chicago's making more money than Milwaukee.
No. It's that we've paid the Bears the most money, so we need them the most to make up the money that we paid them.
Craig, hold
right,
on.
So he's
I
a
asked,
Bears fan. Yeah.
I asked this
bit.
To Gabe, answer this, because I asked it to Ashy during the break. I said, would Packer fans be okay with losing to the Bears at home the last game of the year to get healthy?
Not the fans who are there.
Yeah.
Would you say, in principle, yes, but if you had to actually watch it, no?
Correct, yes. In principle, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. When I sit down to watch that game and they lose to the Bears, like, if you lose to the Bears, then you can lose to anybody.
I'm pulling that. I think it's a great question. I'm pulling at you.
So
but if you rest, hold on. You rest Josh Jacobs.
On,
you rest Elton Jenkins.
After they played
you
so
rest
good
Josh Meyer.
You really need to take it there.
Yes, we do. I think we do because this is what it's heading towards. This is where.
Did anybody see the play where the offensive line decided not to block and Jordan Love eluded the pass rush? And then Jordan Love threw a pass that may have been slightly tipped, like all the way down the left sideline, that was perfect in the smallest little window and complete in like the fourth quarter and like a pressure drive. It was like Aaron Rodgers meets Brett Favre-esque. Like, Jordan Love was a wizard. He was so comfortable in the pocket. He was moving around. I mean, what we saw last night from Jordan Love had to make you think, thank God we have this quarterback. Like, so many franchises, we've seen so much bad quarterback play. You have to be ecstatic coming out of that game. I mean, Jordan Love looked better than he looked all year in that second half. I know you probably didn't stay awake for it, Chewy, but come on.
He made it through the third quarter.
Jordan Love was unbelievable.
He made it through the third quarter, Craig. We should be proud of him.
Craig, this is a defense that was playing with guys off of the street. Off of the street. These guys are not going to be playing the next time they face them. They're not.
We saw Rasul Douglas was a guy off the street. I mean, guys can play, and Jordan Love was making plays. I mean, Jordan Love No one can take away from, in my mind, how good. I know he's like 12 of 20 or whatever, so the completion percentage doesn't look amazing. Jordan Love was incredible in that second half.
Oh, he was 9 for 13 in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those drives, one after another, I mean, you can't help but be optimistic if you're a Packers fan watching the way Jordan Love played last night. It's a quarterback league, and Jordan Love looked like he was a top five quarterback in that second half.
Yeah, he looked like the guy that you paid all that money to, certainly. But, Craig, I do want to know, are you as excited for tonight as I am?
What's tonight?
The return of Chris Middleton, baby!
You did it, huh? You did it.
No?
I am beyond excited.
Yeah!
I will believe it when I see it, because it's been a long time coming. But we had so few times last year where we were able to see this team together, and seeing the way the team's come together over the last 3-4 weeks, and just there was no like big strategic change, you know, some different rotations and all that. But it really is the team just getting their mojo back, and to have Chris come back, and, you know, I think Chris, like, people were like, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? You know, double ankle surgery. And I don't know, Chewy, how you feel about it, but like, how much about it for an athlete like that is doctors saying they're ready? And how much of it, like in a sport like this, when you've said you have to play like almost out of control, how much of it is the player like feeling like they can actually do it?
Well, I can only speak for myself because I really shouldn't be on the air today because I suffered a major injury yesterday, but I'm one of those old school
guys. To your
guys
sack? Just, don't be descriptive.
Don't care what the doctor says. All I want to do is play and get better. So there's a little bit of both. Sometimes you don't listen to the doctor and you do your own thing, which is what I did. So I'm just kind of limping through. Can we get back to the
brave,
Packers? Craig, have you watched Philly play? Have you watched Philly play?
A ton.
Philly is better than Detroit. Philly is better than Detroit because Philly's defense is nasty.
I was going to say Philly's D is better than Detroit. When they don't have Devontae Smith, they're a little limited, I think, because Detroit just is deeper there. But I think once you add Devontae Smith back and if he's healthy – then I will say that. The thing I will say that also is why I would be really excited if I'm a Packers fan. I know Dan Campbell's going to get all these accolades for all of his fourth down stuff last night. I believe in a one-game situation against the Eagles or the Lions, it is more likely that the opposing coach is going to lose the game for his team than win the game for his team. And I trust Matt LaFleur in that big spot way more than I trust the decision-making of either of those two knuckleheads that are running those other teams.
I
would agree with you there.
I understand where you're coming from, Craig, but so then do you just chalk last night up to an aberration? Because Matt LaFleur was not on his game early, and that's why they kind of dug themselves that 17-7 hole at halftime.
Yeah, I guess what I'm talking about is the big-picture decision-making. I love Dan Campbell as a leader. I think he's awesome, and just the Lions were bad for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, It's unbelievable the way his attitude has transformed that entire organization. But when on fourth and one, like from their own 30, they like pitch the ball and like pitch it 8 yards back, and the Packers then get the ball like right away at the 30. And then, you know, at the end of the game, the decision he made, I get it. He kept the ball out of Jordan Love's hands, but the Packers did not have any timeouts. I mean, they had no timeouts. Like, I get imposing your will and attitude and all that, but I think in a one-game situation, I think the decision-making of both the Lions and the Eagles are more likely to come back to get them and help the Packers in a big spot.
Craig, did you see the jawing between the game between the fan holding the flag and LaFleur? I could see that being you at a Bucs game if they were playing Denver in the finals.
What Craig's just going to start?
Yay or nay?
He's going to start jawing at Jokic or what?
Yes.
That's the wrong guy. He's got his brother.
Malone,
that's wrong guy.
Campbell.
No, I mean, I'm more likely to, like, tell our fans to, like, chill. Like, I'm that is not me at all.
That
like,
isn't?
I'm more, Yeah, no, I'm more likely to, like, encourage our fans to be respectful to the referees and to be, like, good fans. Like, yeah, that's not me at all. Sorry.
Okay.
Craig,
I'm not the owner of the Phoenix Suns who's going to wrestle the ball away from Jokic, like, when the ball comes to, like, to the sidelines. That's not my vibe.
No, this was years ago when Chris hit a game winner. I mean, Craig was really close to jumping on the monkey pile one time after a game winner. I think he'd be more likely to do that than be jawing with somebody else.
Absolutely. I'm all for the celebration. I'm all for jumping in on that.
Craig, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Craig Karmerson joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Look, it's cold outside. You wake up in the morning, it's 15 degrees outside. But you still want to play golf. Where do you go? X-Golf at American Family Field is where you go. Beautiful facility overlooking left field, so you can kind of see what's going on inside the ballpark all year round. The accurate simulators, they are state-of-the-art, fantastic. Maybe you're looking to up your game this offseason. Take a lesson from their PGA pro, my buddy Andy Barrett. But what to me is really cool about X-Golf at American Family Field, especially if you've never been there, the space is just so unique. It's unlike anything else. So it's a great place to go and host your next big event, whether you're a fan of golf or not. I mean, you can certainly set up the simulators, different games, long drive, you know, long putt, close to the pin, things like that. But because the space is so cool and unique, everyone is going to enjoy the full bar and menu that they have at X-Golf at American Family Field. So find out more information. Book your sim today. X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
It goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's put it in the air this time. It is
whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
Delayed blitz. The pass to the end zone. Kraft. Touchdown. Wow. Tucker Kraft.
Wow is right. One of the best throws of the game for Jordan Love, also the one that Craig was talking about. A couple of really good throws by Jordan. He was spectacular in the second half. Unfortunately, the Packers still fell. But Jordan Love, our superhero of the game, brought to you by Current Electric. So many things to get into in hour two. We'll take a closer look at that NFC playoff picture. Plus, we will get to Chewy's sack story. Hour two starts in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.